My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. As I've shared with listeners to Destination Unlimited before, I grew up in a culturally Jewish home during the 1950s and 60s. It was a form of Judaism light, with the festivals and high holy days observed as a time of bringing the family together. My paternal grandfather, who immigrated from Eastern Europe in the late 1800s, was Orthodox and also a bit of a mystic. He would share things with me that did not make sense to my young mind, but felt right, including saying that there were more things in the Torah than one could read with regular eyes. It did not dawn on me until my late 30s what he was talking about, but he was referring to hidden messages, information that was there but required special eyes to read and comprehend. Recently, I became aware of the writing and teaching of Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, leader of Beth Israel, the Jerusalem Center in Wayne, New Jersey, and founder of the Hope of the World Ministry. His series of New York Times best-selling books, including The Harbinger and The Paradigm, seemed to reflect what my grandfather was talking about years ago. He has addressed members of Congress and spoken at the United Nations and was named along with Billy Graham and Keith Green as one of the top 40 spiritual leaders of the last 40 years who radically changed our world. He's known as a prophetic voice in this generation and for the opening up of deep mysteries of God. His ministry can be contacted at hopeoftheworld.org and Jonathan Kahn on Facebook. He joins me this week to discuss his latest best-selling book and one that has been called a mind-blowing masterpiece of revelatory spiritual mysteries that are absolutely real. The Oracle, the Jubilee and Mysteries Unveiled. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Good evening, Jonathan.
Great to be with you, Victor.
And thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight. I had a wonderful teacher, Jonathan, in the 1990s when I attended the New Seminary of New York. His name was Rabbi Joseph Gelberman, and he founded the seminary in the 1980s as the first of the interfaith seminaries. And one of his favorite expressions was in Hebrew, Hakol Beseda, which means everything is unfolding in divine order or according to God's plan. Now, my introduction to you and our interview this evening unfolded in just this way through a series of wonderful synchronicities. I'm grateful to my friend Janice Lee Bruner, who told me about your books. And when I pursued the interview, it turned out that my son, Alex Garrett, who works for Salem Broadcasting, was friendly with your publicist and publishing team. So, Hakol Beseda, we are here. So please share with our audience your story and how it led to your work and ministry.
You mean kind of how my spiritual journey?
Exactly. How did it unfold?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was raised, we have some similarities. I was raised in a Jewish home, a secular Jewish home. My father came from Germany and escaped Hitler. And that's how we got here. And my mother's family escaped the Tsar from Russia. They grew up in Brooklyn, or my mother. They were both scientists. So I came up from it with a very kind of secular scientific outlook. I went to Hebrew school. In Hebrew school, I was told of the God of the Bible who was real and moved in people's lives and, and spoke and was present. But when I looked in the synagogue, I really didn't see that, so I became an atheist at the age of 8 years old. And then, after a certain time, I said, wait a minute, atheism doesn't work. There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a cause. There's got to be something behind this. So I started seeking, and I got books on science, on religion, on Nostradamus, UFOs, all everything. And one day I picked up a book. I thought it was a UFO book. It looked like one, but it was The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, which was a very big book, very great best-selling book in the 1970s. And it was all about how the prophecies in the Bible are coming true today. And so that just, I had no idea that. And that just totally, totally changed my way of thinking. I started looking in the Bible and, you know, I had the Hebrew scriptures. I didn't have the New Testament, of course, in our home. And I started seeing about the Messiah. It was prophesied that the Messiah of Israel is going to be born in Bethlehem. I thought that was Catholic. What's that doing in our Bible? And then, you know, that he becomes a light to the Gentiles, and then that he dies for sin. I mean, all these things that I thought were Catholic were in the Hebrew scriptures. So I started believing reluctantly, you know, in my head, but I did not want to follow it. I didn't want to live it, you know, because I thought if I live it, I have to give up everything. I had a rock band, you know, typical teenager. And but the thing is, I thought would have to join a monastery. So I finally made a deal with God. And I said, if you give me a long life, I'll accept you. I'll follow you when I'm on my deathbed, when I'm about to die. So that was my deal, Victor. And then what happened was, soon after I made that deal, as a teenager, I was almost killed twice. The first time it was a car accident. It was a miracle that I didn't get killed. And the second time I was in a car, in a Ford Pinto, if you remember, you know, which would kind of blow up on impact. And I'm heading to a train track at night in Rockland County, New York. And the light was going on with a, you know, near the track, but the cars were crossing. So I figured, well, it's broken or the train already passed. It's still going. So I said, well, let me see. So I go up to it and I look, and there's nothing protecting. It was a dangerous thing. People have been hit there. And I look, I see a light. It didn't look like it was moving, you know, because it was coming head on. I was on the track. And so I'm trying to figure out, what do I do now? You know, I thought, well, just to be safe, I didn't realize where I was. I just knew I could have been too close. So I look at my rear view mirror and I see now headlights in back of me, and I don't think I can move. So I said, well, just I can move. Maybe I'll go afoot. So I'm just being safe about it. I didn't realize I was still waiting in the path of the train. So I'm waiting for the train to come. The train comes and smashes, plows into the Ford Pinto. The car goes up like aluminum foil. And the only thing I could do at that moment was call out to God. And so I called out to God. The car was destroyed. And I didn't get a scratch.
Wow.
So I said, okay, Lord, can we renegotiate? and so I said, okay, here's a new deal for it. I'll accept you. I'll follow you when I turn 20. Just don't kill me until then. And so and that was my deal. And, you know, it was 8 months after that I turned 20. I was going for all the time I could get. So on my 20th birthday, and not know, you know, and not really knowing how to do it and what to do. But I just remember from Hebrew school that God met Moses on the mountain. He met Elijah on the mountain. So I said, I found a mountain. I went up in the dark and, you know, got to the top of it, kneeled down on a rock and received the Lord in my life and began to follow him. But so I'm really, you know, if you go to my high school reunion with me, you'll say I'm the least likely person, you know, and nobody would have believed that I would be, you know, I in any way, shape or form would be following. But on the other hand, there's a scripture that says God uses the least likely. So it's really, you know, against all odds. If it wasn't for that train, I wouldn't be here talking to you today.
And how did you develop the Hope of the World organization?
Well, what happened was, I was in college when I came to the Lord, when this all happened. And I was a history major, and I had to figure out, what do I do in my life? And so I graduated and I said, Lord, what do you want? What would you do? You know, and so I ended up working with disabled children. And I was also in a ministry helping the homeless in the city leading a Bible study. And I was asked to help start a congregation, which is called Beth Israel. Back then, it was just a few people. And I said, okay, I'll help you. But, you know, one day I'll probably have to leave because I know I'm called for ministry, but I'll help you guys in the meantime. Well, it ended up they asked me to lead it, you know, a few years later. And I prayed and it was a yes to lead it. So so that's Beth Israel, or the Jerusalem Center. That's the congregation, which is about 20 minutes from the New York City. It's in Wayne, New Jersey. And then as I started, I said, you know, but we have to be helping the world. And so I started Hope of the World, which is to twofold. One is to help the needy and the poor of the world with compassion projects around the world. And the other is to get the word out. So that's where most people will find my messages or teachings or radio or television will be on Hope of the World, which is on the web. So the congregation is Beth Israel, the Jerusalem Center in Wayne, and the outreach is Hope of the World.
Now, a gentleman by the name of Squire Rushnell coined the term God winks for those synchronicities and messages that seem to lead us on a path of discovery. How do these messages unfold for you?
Now, you mean of the Oracle or any messages?
Oh, the messages that led you to start writing the series of books that you've written.
Oh, okay, well, great thing, and I know Squire, he's a great guy. What happened was I was standing at Ground Zero, and there was a tree that had been struck down in 9/11, and something said you have to seek this out. There's something there. And so I did. I looked, and all of a sudden, it led to this puzzle piece, this ancient puzzle piece from this mystery that kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was led, and one step to the next. And every time I needed something, somebody would say the word that would be the next key, or it would come into my mind, and then I'd find out it was real, or something would come on my screen, my computer screen, that I didn't type, and it turned out to be the next key. And that is how the Harbinger, the book, which is the first book that I wrote, the Harbinger went forth. It was, I could not reproduce it. It happened exactly as you said. It was these divine confluences. And so every book or the paradigm happened the same way. And it was just one thing coming, or something comes in my mind and I don't know if it's real. And then it turns out to be real. And I'm just led. And so with the Oracle, with the other books, it was about a 2 month period where you can call it a download, of these things coming. But the Oracle, it was a year and a half with, I had 3,000 pages of a download or revelation. And so my big challenge was, how do I get this into a 300 page or less than 300 page book? Victor, I could not reproduce the process because it truly was supernatural.
That is wonderful. And we'll continue discussing this. My guest is Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He's the author of The Oracle, The Jubilean Mysteries Unveiled. When we return, we'll talk more with Jonathan about the series of books that led up to the Oracle and the Oracle itself, and we'll be back after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Psst, Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, the author of The Oracle, The Jubilean Mysteries Unveiled. So as we said in the first segment, The Oracle is the latest in a series of revelatory and prophetic books, including The Harbinger, The Mystery of the, is it pronounced Shemitah?
Yep, Shemitah.
Shemitah, yeah. The Book of Mysteries and The Paradigm. What was the, for lack of a better word, genesis of each of these books? And please share with our listeners a little bit about how they build upon one another.
Yeah, well, as we were beginning last time, the Harbinger was the first one, and that really happened from standing at Ground Zero and really a moment, a prophetic moment that just kept getting bigger. And the Harbinger, in a nutshell, is you know, the subtitle is The Ancient Mystery That Holds the Secret of America's Future. And it's that the signs, they're biblical signs that appeared in the last days of ancient Israel are appearing now on American soil in exactitude, precision. I mean, some in New York City, some in Washington, D.C., some involving the presidents. And quite stunning. And so that was the first book that went out. That's how most people know me starting then. And then The Mystery of the Shemitah is actually, it does follow, the first time the Shemitah is mentioned is in The Harbinger. And that is this 7-year mystery that is in the Bible, that every 7 years something happens. It affects the financial markets. It affects, you know, and it's not that it has to always happen, but it's amazing that things that when you look at modern history and that passage, how everything kind of converges even to exact days. And so The Mystery of the Shemitah, and by the way, The Harbinger, you know, sometimes I write with a story. It's all real what I'm revealing, but sometimes there's a story through which it's revealed. So The Harbinger has a story, but it's what's revealed is real. The Shemitah is totally, there's no story, it's nonfiction. The next book was the Book of Mysteries, and that is really a whole, like, it's like a man goes into a desert, finds a man called the Teacher, and every day he opens up another mystery of God, and sometimes on a mountaintop, in a cave, and, you know, through scrolls, and really that, I'm just using that story, but every day there's another mystery, so there's 365 mysteries, you know, one for every day of the year, of the mysteries of God, and this is really from all many things that have come to me through the years. So it's a whole wide-ranging thing, the Book of Mysteries. Then the paradigm, it came to me very similar to the way the Harbinger did. It was a download for about 2 months. And what that is that it's not just the signs that we are replaying now in our world, but everything else, the people, the leaders, all these things are replaying. Like, for instance, the leaders on the world stage, leaders on the American stage are following the templates of these ancient leaders in the Bible, and events are replaying to the point where you can even pinpoint modern events when things have to happen, including September 11th, down to the day, based on these mysteries, and it even goes up to where we are now. So the paradigm is very explosive because it does involve people as well as events and even leaders who are on the stage right now. So I mean, it kind of dovetails with the Harbinger, but it's not the signs, it's everything else. And then comes, you know, now we're at the Oracle.
Now, before we start with the Oracle, I have a question for you. You talk about a download. I've had times when I've gotten words coming through me in the forms of poetry or lyrical poetry that I had no explanation for. What is your process? What is the connection with God that flows through you? That's what I'd really love to know.
Yeah, well, it always, you know, I never planned the books. I mean, I if you asked me, you know, a little while back, did I even know what was going to be in the Oracle? I didn't know. Same with the paradigm. It basically, generally, one thing, you know, something, a voice says, and I'm not saying I'm hearing audible voices, but a voice says, this is, look, you have to seek there. There's something here. And I start going in that direction, and then the next thing comes, and the next thing comes. And sometimes, like, for instance, with the paradigm, I am, well, I'll give you an example. With the Harbinger, I'm typing in something on my computer. I'm typing to get a scripture, but instead of getting a scripture, something else comes up that it's a record from the halls of Congress that blows me away that the mystery actually took place in Congress, but I had no idea. I didn't ask for that. It happened. I went with a paradigm. I'm lying on my bed. I mean, just in the process, I'm lying on my bed, and like three things come into my mind, and I say, whoa, wait, that I don't know if that can be true, you know. And I get up. My wife is sleeping. I get up. I go into another room. I turn on my laptop. I go onto the internet, and I see that every single one of them is real. But it came, I had no idea, but it came to me right as I'm lying on my bed, you know. So only then did I say, whoa, you know. Then I research it, and then, you know, it's one thing after another. So it really, again, with each of those books, I could not, including the Oracle, I could not possibly reproduce it, because it happens beyond me, you know. And it happens, or you could say it can happen through us, but it's confirmed. But so that's just an idea of how some of the things come.
That is wonderful and fascinating. Thank you for sharing with that. That's a very personal process, I know, from my own experience. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
So the latest book, The Oracle, The Jubilean Mysteries Unveiled. First of all, for our listeners not familiar with the word, what is a jubilee?
Okay. A jubilee is the year, it was the 50th year. Every 50th year, there was a year of freedom. If you're a slave, you get set free. It's a year of restoration. If you lost your ancestral land in the year of Jubilee, you get it back. You return. Everybody, it says everyone shall return home or shall return to their own possession. So it's a year of restoration, really speaking about the restoration of God, and that whatever you lost comes back. And this happens in the 50th year. But now the amazing thing, and we have the word in English, Jubilee, you know, based from every time you hear it, it's based on that. But the thing is that the one of the mysteries of this, and that's in the Oracle, is that, you know, the Bible speaks of end times and last days and events of the end times. And the amazing thing is that the events of the end times, which are the events of modern times in our lifetime, are following this mystery of the Jubilee. They're following that things happen at set times, you know, like clockwork, you know, in our world, prophetic events, gigantic events happen according to this mystery.
What is the mystery of the Oracle?
Okay, this has to be the biggest spanning mystery I've ever written on or ever done. And I told you, like the other ones, two months. This one, a year and a half, 3,000 pages of things called Revelation. The book is less than 300 pages. But how could I get that in there? Well, it's so widespread that in many ways it's the mystery of what has been. What is right now, current events right now affecting leaders, affecting everything, and what is yet to come, the future, end times. And it's also even the mystery of our lives, because there's a blueprint of our lives. There's an appointed, one of the things that you see in the Oracle, the principle of appointed destiny, not for the world and for times right now, modern times, and in our lives. And also, you know, it is so big. I mean, for instance, the rise of America is just one puzzle piece in this mystery. It is so really gigantic, and it is something that it's very mind blowing, because it's that everything is falling to place in an exact time. Even the outcome of American elections, even the leaders who are in power right now. But it goes back. I mean, it's past, present, and future, and it's really in many ways the mystery of everything. And I'll give you an example too. We mentioned, just to set the stage, the Jubilean mysteries, which have to do with this restoration, the 50th year. But there's also another mystery that runs through the Oracle, and that is the mystery of the parashas. Now, and you might very well be very aware, but not everybody is. The parashas are the appointed words that are read in the synagogues. You know, that the scrolls are opened every week, and on the appointed day, you know, appointed words that have been appointed from ages past to be read on that day are recited, are chanted, you know, in Hebrew and English. But the amazing thing, and this is in the Oracle, is that at the times when these scrolls are opened up and these words are read, what is in the word, what is in the scripture, what is in the scroll starts taking place in the world. And it happens again and again and again. What if we could know those words? What if we could know, you know, what was scheduled? That's one of the mystery, the stream of mysteries that goes to the Oracle that's revealed. Now, as I kind of hinted before, the Oracle has is one of those books I've written where it's all real, what's being revealed, but it's revealed in a, there's a story around it to make it easier to do that. And a man is also seeking for truth. He ends up on a mountain and meets a man called the Oracle. The Oracle then opens up these mysteries of God, of now, of our lives, of the end times. And the thing is that it's opened up or revealed through the seven doors of Revelation. And so every door will have like eight different streams of revelations or mysteries. And, you know, on the program, we might be able to get to one or two in each door, but I'll try to give a taste of it.
Before we go to the break, let's just talk about what you were just mentioning, the parashas or the parshas, the Torah portions that are read daily in synagogues around the world for the last, I don't know, thousands of years. Can you give us an example of one of those Torah portions and how it reflects something that's actually happening.
Okay. On the day that Israel came back into the world, which was May 14th, 1948, it was a Friday, it was a Sabbath. And so they opened up the scrolls. Now, there were scrolls appointed for that very day. And what was, so there was a word. So could that word be significant? Well, the word that was appointed from ages past for May 14th, 1948, was a prophecy in the book of Amos. And what was it about? It was all about the resurrection of Israel. It was all about, Victor, all around the world, this is being read and chanted on May 14th as Israel is being resurrected from the dead on the day, you know, and it speaks about, you know, and that will be the end on that day. It talks about a day. On that day, God says, I will end the exile of the Jewish people on that day. I will bring them, plant them back in their land. They will plant the land. They won't be uprooted. I will rebuild it, Israel, as in ancient times. So this is all being chanted as the event is taking place. Now nobody could have put that together. You know, it's impossible. And yet that's just one example of the Parasha mystery.
The ultimate synchronicity. My guest, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, the author of The Oracle, The Jubilee and Mysteries Unveiled. Jonathan, please tell our listeners where they can get the book and find out more about you and your work.
Yeah, the Oracle is available everywhere, online, offline, online, Amazon, or any place online you can get it right now, or any bookstore from Walmart to Barnes & Noble, you'll see the Oracle. So you can get it everywhere. And to get in touch, our ministry is Hope of the World, and we'll send out free gifts and free CDs and missed prophetic updates. Just go to hopeoftheworld.org and you'll get free gifts, hopeoftheworld.org.
We'll be back with more of Jonathan and this amazing work after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He's the author of The Oracle, The Jubilean Mysteries Unveiled. So, Jonathan, in the last segment, you talked about the oracle and the seven doors. What is the first door, and who is the stranger?
Okay. There is a prophecy. You know, one of the things with the Bible is that, and this is what, you know, when I was first an atheist, and this is what just blew me away. The Bible speaks of the end times, what's going to happen, and unbelievable accuracy. This is what changed me from being an atheist when I saw this. Well, one of the things it says is that in the end times, the Jewish people are going to be scattered to the ends of the earth. This is all there in the Bible thousands of years ago. They're going to be persecuted. But in the end times, they're going to be gathered back. God's going to bring them back to the land of Israel. They're going to come back to Jerusalem. They're going to come back. The whole world is going to focus on the Middle East. I mean, everything, all these things have to take place. And I mean, this is also, by the way, in the New Testament, Jesus said the same thing. But the thing is that the first person to ever speak of end time prophecy and of Israel coming back was Moses. And Moses gives a prophecy in his farewell speech to Israel, and in Deuteronomy, that book, he says that before this all happens, before God brings you back, he says there's going to be a sign. A stranger is going to come to the land of Israel, which is at that point going to be desolate. It's going to be a wasteland. It's going to be hopeless. You know, nothing will grow there. He's going to come there from across the world, far away, and he's going to bear witness of the desolation of the land. And right after that happens, after he bears witness, says it's hopeless, then things are going to begin to break for the restoration. So did this ever happen? Well, the amazing thing, it happened, and it happened in the 19th century when the land of Israel was at its worst, a wasteland, and a man comes from across the world, comes to the land of Israel, bears witness of the desolation. He actually has a notepad in his hand, and he uses the same words that Moses uses and says that Moses said he's going to use. Like Moses says, the stranger will say, there's no grass growing here. Well, the man writes down, you know, no grass grows here. I mean, on and on. And so he puts it in a book, writes the book, actually becomes famous because of this book, and we know him, and the stranger's name is Mark Twain.
And Mark Twain's real name
is actually part of biblical prophecy. And I mean, all the more amazing because Mark Twain was a skeptic, and yet he's doing this without knowing it. And it happens in the year 1867, which is the beginning of the mysteries here, the beginning when strange things start happening in the land. And once he comes, I won't go through the detail for time, but this is the first door. There's about eight mysteries here, but all sorts of things start happening in the land of Israel, mysterious things that are preparing it for the return, for the restoration. But the thing is that Mark Twain, on his last day in the land, he's walking it's the peak of his journey. He's in Jerusalem. It's his last full day and night in Jerusalem. He's walking the streets and it's the Sabbath. And so they're opening up the scrolls and they're chanting from the appointed word, the words that's appointed for that day. And he's walking through. He can hear the Hebrew. He doesn't know what they're saying. And what is the appointed word? The appointed word that they're chanting as he walks through Jerusalem is the prophecy of Moses that the stranger shall come to the land. So here he is doing this. He doesn't know. They don't know. And the thing is, on top of that, you know, I mean, I know you know this picture, but, you know, for 2,000 years, the Jewish people have been praying every day. It's part of the prayer. It's like, Lord, you know, hear our prayer. You know, be merciful to us and bring us back to the land. Restore us. So hear our prayer. Be merciful. Mark Twain's real name wasn't Mark Twain. It was Samuel Clemens. Mm. Samuel in Hebrew, it's Hebrew. It means the Lord has heard, and Clemens means and has been merciful.
Right.
So it all begins then. I won't go through all the mysteries of what that happened that year. But now what happens if we count to the 50th year from there to the next Jubilee? And what year will it take us to? It's going to pinpoint, the mystery will pinpoint the year 1917. Mm-hmm. Is that significant? Well, now the mystery is going to explode on the whole world. There's going to be a First World War. And when you get to 1917, strange things start happening. One is the Ottoman Empire that had the land for hundreds of years, and there's no way they wanted the Jewish people to come back and have a nation. All of a sudden, they start crumbling in the year 1917. In the year 1917, the British Empire enters the land of Israel under a Christian with a Bible whose name is General Edmund Allenby. And Allenby, he enters, you know, he comes in, and that is the year, in the year of Jubilee, it says everyone shall return to their own land. Allenby enters Jerusalem, and the British Empire passes the Balfour Declaration, which says that the land of Israel, for the first time in 2,000 years, will be for a Jewish homeland. So Jubilee, everyone shall return to their own land. Everyone shall return to their possession. Like clockwork. I mean, that's the next major event. Now, there are many mysteries that have to do with what happened then. I'll just mention something. I'll just say that I'll speak around it to say that there is a number in the book of Daniel that actually pinpoints when the occupation of Israel has to end. And In 1917, that number in Daniel, it starts appearing all over the Middle East because it turns out it's the number of the Muslim year. The calendar is the same year. And it actually comes to its head on the exact day that the go-ahead is given for the Balfour Declaration. But there's so many things. And when, you know, there is actually a day in the Bible that says on this day, Jerusalem is going to be, you know, it's going to be liberated or blessed, you know, from this day. And it gives an exact date. And on that exact day, that is the day that Jerusalem was liberated by the soldiers of Edmund Allenby, you know, which, by the way, also was Hanukkah, which celebrates the liberation of Jerusalem.
Absolutely. One thing, just one aside that I've shared with many people over the years, when I would talk about Israel and the people of Israel, and I would say to folks, who are the people of Israel? And they think of the nation of Israel, they think of the people who are the Israelites in Israel. And I said, every sentient human being is Israel. Why? Because what does Israel mean?
Israel is from the name from Jacob, right. Jacob's wrestling match, who wrestles with God and prevails.
And every human being, every sentient being, even atheists wrestle with God. So I submit we are all Israel, right?
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, well, one thing for everyone who reads the Bible, and I'm talking to those who are not necessarily Jewish, but who are Christian. Listen, it says, first of all, you are now of Israel, and Victor, that's a fascinating take on it. That really, and actually it's part of the mystery too, which we'll get to.
There you go. So we get to the second door. What happened behind the second
door? The second door was, I just gave a real nutshell of that's the second Jubilee, which is 1917.
Right,
so now the land returns to the people. So now the Jewish people are coming back from all over. Now before you get to the next period, you're going to have Hitler rise and you're going to have, you know, the Jewish people fleeing to get back, you know. So the thing is, now comes another mystery or another, this is the third door. And again, no, I mean, you know this, Victor, but everybody listening, I am doing such a Evelyn Woods of the Oracle speed reading. I'm just giving you a little taste of each door, but each one has mystery. So there's a guy named Theodor Herzl. Of course, you know him, but many people don't. Theodor Herzl is the guy who had the vision of Israel years before it happened. He's called the father of modern Israel. But what people don't know, there's a mystery. You know, the Bible says that the Jewish people have to come back to the land for Messiah to come. I mean, now what people who are Christians have to know, Jesus said, I'm not coming back until my ancient people are back in Israel and Jerusalem and say, blessed is he, you know. So it all has to happen. But what people don't know is Herzl, before he died, he had a secret. And that is, when he was a kid, he had a dream. And the dream is, he saw the Messiah. And the Messiah said, this child is appointed to prepare my people because I am coming to prepare my people. And now this is years before Herzl ever did anything having to do with Israel. And the thing is that Herzl is the one who started Zionism, the return to Israel. And he had a Congress, the first Zionist Congress. And when, as soon as he had that Congress, that was to begin the return to Israel, he wrote down a prophecy. And the prophecy said, he said, I just founded the Jewish state, but nobody would believe me now. They would laugh. But the whole world is going to know it. In 50 years' time, 50 years, that's Jubilee, 50 years. So when did he write it? He wrote it in 1897. Count 50 years to that Jubilee, and it takes you to the year 1947, the year that Israel is voted into the world and the whole world knows it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I looked deeper. I looked at the date that, you know, the resolution the UN got, you know, has a date on it, the plan for Israel coming back. And it's dated September 3rd, 1947. Well, you go back, I looked at Herzl's prophecy. It's dated September 3rd, 1897. It happened 50 years to the exact day. And I'll give you a thing about this, Victor, because you mentioned something. So, and that is that on the day that Israel was voted back in the United Nations, it was a Sabbath. That means the scrolls were being opened all around the world. And what was the appointed word? Well, the appointed word was about, you know, you mentioned something, and you know that you know, Israel comes from Jacob. Jacob, you know, was called it. Jacob is the father of the Jewish people, so sometimes they're all called Jacob, sons of Jacob, children of Jacob. So what was the scripture on the day that Israel was voted back, was the all around the world they're reciting it, is the scripture that speaks of Jacob returning from exile, coming home. And when they voted Israel back that night, at the UN, there was no name for the nation. They only came up with the name Israel like 3 days before it would be, you know, in the next year when it was going to come there. But in the appointed word that was read all around the world, it was the scripture, you shall be called Israel.
And these, there is no such thing in my mind as coincidence. I believe that there's a higher purpose and a higher reason behind everything that happens. You couldn't make that up.
No, absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, Victor, this happens again and again and again, even up to our time. And you know, I'll I mentioned that when Israel came back in the world, you know, again, the appointed scripture was about Israel coming back in the world, but on that day. But now let me kind of tell you another thing. You kind of alluded to it when you were kind of giving an introduction about what your grandfather said. But get this. You know, we're talking about the Jubilee. The Jubilee, you know, comes from this ancient law, this ancient ordinance from Leviticus 25. And in that, Moses says, it's the first time in the Bible that the words, it says, you shall return. And to the Jewish people, I mean, to plural, you shall return. Well, in Hebrew, you know, the way you write down a Hebrew word or a Hebrew year, you don't use numbers, you use letters. That's the official way. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet has a number, and that's you know, it's not some mysterious thing. That's how they do the years. Well, the year when God said you shall return to Israel for the first time in the Jubilee ordinance, you shall return. It's the word is tashuvu in Hebrew. That has four letters, and it adds up. Now, get this: it adds up to the number that pinpoints the year 1948, the year that Israel returns into the world.
You can't make this stuff up.
All there from the beginning, from 3,000 years ago, Victor. That's how amazing it is.
My guest, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, his book, The Oracle, The Jubilee and Mysteries Unveiled. We'll be back with more of Jonathan and this amazing information after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, the author of The Oracle, The Jubilee and Mysteries Unveiled. So this has been incredibly exciting and building up. What happens through door number four?
Okay. In Dune Runner 4, and again, everybody who's just, if you're just tuning in, we'll just be able to touch on little parts of what the mysteries, but we had, you know, we saw 1867 as the big picture, and then count 50 years, 1917, next Jubilee, something always prophetic happens. Well, what happens if you count 50 years from 1917? It takes you to the year 1967, pinpoint saying that something's going to happen that's linked to the Jubilee, linked to restoration of Israel there. Well, the one thing that Israel didn't have when they came back as a nation was Jerusalem, because Jerusalem, and that's in Bible prophecy that they must come back to Jerusalem. You know, Messiah is not coming again until until they're back in Jerusalem and he comes to Jerusalem. So 1967, it all happens. It's the next Jubilee, then comes the next restoration, and comes the Six-Day War, and by the third day of that war, is after 2,000 years, Jewish Israeli people are entering the gates of their ancient city, haven't been there as such in that way for since the time of Rome. So here is the next restoration. Everyone shall return to their own possession. But now there's a prophecy in the Bible where God says, I'm going to fight for Jerusalem and for that mountain like a lion. And it says actually in the Hebrew, like a lion and like the young lion. Now that's in Isaiah. Now, amazing thing, because how did Israel end up coming back to Jerusalem? Well, they weren't even trying. They were actually trying to avoid it originally, but it ends up there's a commander who had to circle the hills around Jerusalem to protect it, and he's crucial in what happened with Jerusalem, and his name is Colonel Ari, which in Hebrew means Colonel Lion. Then the guy who from the central command who has to give the word said, okay guys, it's time, you gotta go through the gates, his name is Arik Regev, his name means the lion. He sends the word to the intelligence officer, whose name is Arik Achman, and his name means the lion. And then he finally sends the word to the Mount of Olives, where there's a guy who's commander, who is a different name. Name is Mata Gor, but he's the hero of Jerusalem for Israel. He leads the men into the gates of Jerusalem. But his name, Gor, means the young lion. So the first two people through the gates and on the Temple Mount, the prophecy says God will fight like a lion, a young lion on that mountain. That's the Temple Mount, are Mata Gor and Arik Achman, who in Hebrew, the name means the lion and the young lion. As it says, God will fight as the lion and the young lion. And what gate do they enter through? They enter through the lion's gate. You know, the prophecy says that Messiah will first come as a lamb, and then actually Jesus came, or Yeshua came 2,000 years ago as a lamb, and then it says he will come as a lion. But think about this, Victor, every one of those boys had to be born with and given the name Lion for that day. You know, talk about the principle of no accident or destiny. But I'll tell you one more from door number four. And that's called, in the Oracle, it's called the Jubilean Man. And that is this. When the Jubilee comes, you know, and most people have an idea of this, the trumpet is blown, the Jubilee trumpet or the Jubilee shofar, the horn. You can't have the Jubilee without blowing that horn. Well, was that horn ever actually blown during one of these prophetic moments, end time moments? Well, when the Israeli soldiers enter the gates of Jerusalem and they get to the Temple Mount, they hear a sound, and it's the sound of the trumpet. It's the sound of the Jubilee blowing at the very moment. Why? Well, there's a guy blowing it, and he's not doing it because he's not reading the Oracle, and he's not trying to fulfill the Jubilee. He's just doing it, but it's all converging at the same moment. Now, it says, there's a mystery here. It says that in the Jubilee, you know, the land will return to its original state, you know, the original owner, originally. Well, what was the Temple Mount in its original state? Well, the Bible reveals it. It says it was a threshing floor. In Hebrew, the word for threshing floor is the word goren. The guy who blows the shofar is named Rabbi Goren or Rabbi Threshing Floor. So here he's standing on the threshing floor, blowing. His name means threshing floor. When was he born? He was born in the year 1917, the other Jubilee. So he was born, and now, you know, he's doing the sound of the 50th year. It's his 50th year, you know. And Victor, the name Goren, he's originally from Poland. In Polish, in the Jewish, Eastern European Jew, it means the horn. So his name is Rabbi Horn. So now get this. So, you know, in 1917, when during this Jubilee, when the Jerusalem is being liberated, this whole thing's happening, this child is born. He's appointed for the next Jubilee. His name means the threshing floor. So it's going to be fulfilled when he's on the threshing floor. And his name means horn when he's going to blow the horn on the threshing floor. I mean, who could put that together?
You can. I don't know what the calculated odds would be that all of these things would fit together, but it must be astronomical.
Yeah. And the thing is, Victor, I couldn't even begin to do that. And the thing is that I won't go through it, but one of the mysteries is that in every Jubilean year, a child is born who's going to end up playing the central part in the next Jubilee or central when they turn 50. And I can't go through it, but it's been happening ever since the 1900s or the 18th century or 1800s up to now.
Okay, so with 1967 plus 50 years,
yes,
comes to the year 2017. What happened beyond the fifth door?
Okay, well, now it comes to where we are now. So the Oracle is the past, the present, and the future. Okay, so the one thing when the Jubilee comes, you don't just go back to your land, you get the legal right to it. You are legally, it's recognized, by the authorities. And the one thing that never happened with Israel, when Israel came back to Jerusalem, the world refused to recognize. It's the only capital in the history of the world has refused to recognize, but now we come to the next Jubilee. This is 2017. So what happens? Does anything happen concerning all this? Yes. What happens in the year 2017 is America becomes the first nation in the world to recognize Jerusalem. I mean, not just, Donald Trump, and it's not about him, but he becomes the first president, not the first world leader in modern times, but he's also the first world leader since ancient times. I mean, to issue the Jerusalem Declaration. I mean, this causes an uproar around the world, but it happens, but it's all part of the restoration. Now, Victor, I could say we could say safely that Donald Trump is probably not studying the original Hebrew of Leviticus. He probably woke up that day and said, hey, let me do this, but it all happened at the exact time, exact moment. In fact, his declaration is going to follow the pattern of the ancient declaration of King Cyrus, who's the first one to do this 2,500 years ago. And I won't go through the detail, but I'll just tell you something's amazing that, when in the Bible it says a king shall make a declaration, after 70 years with Israel, a 70-year period for Israel, at the end of the 70 years or after 70 years, the king will make a declaration recognizing Jerusalem. Well, in the Bible, that was King Cyrus. But what about Israel? What about Trump? Well, the amazing thing is that if you count from the day I said, or from when Israel was voted back into the world, the clock begins, 1947, count 70 years, it comes to when? It comes to the year 2017. But even beyond that, one of the mysteries in the Oracle is called the 70-year mystery. And that is this, that if you take the exact day that Israel was voted back on the Hebrew calendar, and then you go forward 70 years to the day that would constitute after 70 years, it comes out to December 6, 2017. December 6 is the exact date that Donald Trump recognized Jerusalem, to the exact day, 70 years. And by the way, this is not about Donald Trump. It doesn't matter what anybody feels. It's not about politics. It doesn't matter what you feel. This is about something much higher than that. And I'll tell you one more thing about that, because it's not about anything else. It's about the sovereignty of God. And that is this. I told you in the last Jubilee that there was there was that rabbi named Rabbi Horn, who's born just for that moment to sound the shofar, sound the horn. Well, when you have a Jubilee year, you got to have a horn, or you got to have the trump or the shofar. Well, what does the name of our the president mean in English? It means the trumpet. Trump in English means the trumpet. So you've got the year of Jubilee 2017, and you got a president named Trump. I mean, who could put that together? And he's born with that name, just like the other one is. And listen, it doesn't matter. It's not politics. It's simply the year of Jubilee is coming, and it went in 2017. So when did it says the trumpet will start blowing in the year of Jubilee? When did he come to power? In 2017, year of Jubilee. And what does it say? It says when the Trump, it says the Trump will, in the Bible, King James, it says the Trump will sound. Well, the Trump's been sounding ever since, even when we don't want him to sound, he sounds, And the thing is that it says when the Trump sounds, or the trumpet sounds, that the land will return to the right, will return to the original people. Well, that's exactly what happened. And I will say this. Let me throw this in. I won't go through the detail, but it's amazing. And that is that when Trump was born, he's actually born on that day, was a Friday, and so there was an appointed word, and I won't go through, but it's amazing because the appointed word when he was born has to do with the mystery of his life, and it's not about Trump. I don't think he knows what he's doing with this, but the point is it's about the mystery. And when I told you that rabbi blew the horn at that other Jubilee, Rabbi Horn, the reason why he did it is because he was reading the scripture that was appointed for the day that Donald Trump was born. I mean, it's beyond fathoming, but it's absolutely real. And I will just say this before we go to the future, is that if we were alive in 1947 and we knew the mystery, we could have pinpointed and say that in 2017, a man will come to power who will issue the Jerusalem Declaration in his first year of power. And I mean, all that, everything had to come true for that to come true.
We're going to leave the future to the readers who are going to get your book and marvel at everything that's in there. This is stuff that's just, you know, literally the word marvel is what applies here, because it's marvelous. It's amazing. Oh.
Thank you
for doing this work, because I think it's really important, especially in our world today. What would you like readers to take away from the Oracle?
Yeah, well, thank you, Victor. Yeah. Well, it's kind of what goes into the future is that what is yet to come, what has to happen, and the last door, which is the seventh door, that's beyond the future. That the whole mystery has to do with every one of our lives, and that is that it's not just it's not just the mystery of the world and the mystery of things happen. There's a mystery to each of our lives, and just as everything happens at its exact time, exact moment, so there is a plan for your life. And there is there are exact days, exact times. And, Victor and I were talking about this in our lives. Well, there's these parallels as well. But in your life, there is a plan. But at the end, it goes through the fact of how to find it, how to live it, how to be restored, how to come back to your possession, to what God has for your life. You were born with this. So ultimately, listen, it's saying it looks like things are out of control. It's not out of control. There is a purpose in the world, and there's a purpose for your life, but you need to seek him to find it.
The book is called The Oracle, The Jubilee and Mysteries Unveiled. Jonathan, please tell our listeners one more time where you can get your book and find out more about you and this amazing work.
Yeah, The Oracle is everywhere, online, offline. You can get it on Amazon or any place online right now, or you can go to any bookstore from Walmart to Barnes & Noble. It should be there, and you can get it, and also give it to people who don't know these spiritual things. But the other thing is that to get in touch with me or to get the prophetic updates and free gifts, just remember Hope of the World. You go to hopeoftheworld.org, you'll get free gifts. It's hopeoftheworld.org, and you can also go on Facebook, Jonathan Kahn.
Jonathan, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's totally my pleasure. And thank you, Victor.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.